Chuck Chat Freestyle for Friday, August 22nd, 2014. Dog Days of Podcasting continue. The Dog Days of Podcasting are a challenge invented by Craig Stepp in 2012 to get podcasters to create a podcast a day for 30 days. And Freestyle is an audio blog of my life. And this is the third attempt. Yes, sometimes I have to do this more than once, like many of you. Third attempt to get this recorded. The first two were done outside in a wonderful bog walk, a floating wooden sidewalk of sorts that my stepfather-in-law has made that is starting to deteriorate, and there are parts of it that are now underwater, making it a little difficult to walk. It's more like a wet bog walk. Then it started raining, but for some reason, the first recording, I had too many personal details in there. There's something that's on my mind that I probably should not have shared, which I'm glad I had to redo. And then I redid it again, and I don't know if it was because I was out of Wi-Fi range or just didn't want to upload on 4G or what, but there's two recordings stuck on my phone that will not go up into the cloud. So I did a couple of small tests when I got back in the house. They ran fine. So hopefully this will get up. If it doesn't, I'm not going to do this for a fourth time. You get this, and you get this, or nothing. last night, had a great call with Clinton and Craig about the plans for the upcoming live show, Technorama and Comedy Forecast, at Dragon Con, Friday night, 7 p.m. Be there. Fun, games, maybe prizes, guest appearances. We have a lot planned, and I hope it fits into an hour, because it is probably going to be unbridled hysterics. And afterwards, we will go downstairs. Regardless of the outcome, we will go downstairs, have beer. There's a tradition after Technorama that we go down the escalator from the podcast room, which is now room 203, I believe. We've been in 204 for so many years. Last year it switched, and I don't know the new room number, because I didn't spend any time in it other than our live show last year with Lisa in tow. She wanted to do other things than hang around with podcasters, which is completely understandable, and I should be hanging around with her because this is the last day we got there. So 7 p.m. Friday, I want to see you there. I have loaded up the app, so if anybody wants to be my friend, just find me, send me an email, chuck.tomasi@gmail.com or chuck@chuckchat.com. I'll accept your friend request, the number, if you want me to be your friend, that too. I'm not sure, other than the schedule and maybe a map or two, what value this app has with the friend thing. The social networking piece seems to fall a little flat. A, it takes frickin' forever to update. Anytime you add a friend, it sits there and goes, updating, 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 done. And then most people forget to share their schedules anyway, so you don't really know where your friends are, what they plan to see. So you resort to Twitter, which is a third app, or you know, an outside application to get that done. So, God bless them, they tried. It's wonderful for the schedules, see the guests, see the events, but the social thing leaves much to be desired because it is a bit of a pain to keep updated and send your friends special codes that they have to acknowledge, and the codes are one-time use, so I can't say, this is my friend code, and everybody subscribe to it. It's here, Craig, here is a friend code for you from me, and he sends one to Kyle, and Kyle is his friend, but I gotta send a different one to Kyle, and it's just, anyway, beating that dead horse, so I'll move on. Also had a couple of conference calls, one last night for work. Yes, I am on vacation. However, this is a monthly meeting that I am supposed to organize to get feedback on my job. So I didn't want to let it go 2 months just because I'm on vacation. And next month I might be moving and might not have broadband and whatever, so it'd be far too long. The first month was last month. I had one attendee from Europe and one attendee from Asia. So I do a Thursday night call to take the Asia-Pacific people and a Friday morning call to do Americas and EMEA. This month I had three from Asia last night. We had a very good discussion, a little small in the crowd since I invited 10 or 12 people. I don't know where the rest are. One did say, sorry, I've got a customer conflict, which I am perfectly acceptable to that, but no shows or late shows, I just don't understand. The European call at 11 a.m. Eastern today was not attended by anybody. I waited until 3 minutes after 11, which I think is plenty of time for people to get on, or send me a notice saying, hey, I'm running late. Then I gave up. I'm on vacation. I'm doing this out of the goodness of my heart, and they didn't show up. Of course, as soon as I hang up and get on the road with my family, I get two emails. Hey, are we still doing the call? Can you send me the link? I don't have it in my appointment. And sometimes Outlook does chop things up and you lose pieces of the textual part of an appointment, which I understand. And I replied to both of those people, said, I'm on PTO today, paid time off. There was nobody there 3 minutes after, so I gave up. Hopefully that will underscore the point that I am punctual and so should they, or let me know that they're running late. The rest of them, I'm going to be finding out if there's a better way to communicate with them. If this is not the best way, I realize we all have lots of conference calls, and maybe they want to go with a monthly email. I'm fine with that. If I've got the wrong riders on the bus or wrong people in the wrong seats, I'm happy to switch them out. These are supposed to be senior people, and I don't understand the lack of professionalism in not attending a meeting. That's got me a bit disappointed. As I mentioned, there are a number of personal things that brewed up today, not with my wife or my kids, but with my immediate family that have me a bit in an emotional state right now. I'm not privy to reveal them because they are a bit personal, and the people involved probably wouldn't appreciate them being divulged in a podcast. Even though I know they don't listen, they probably will never listen, but I don't want to be the one, I don't want to be that guy. You said what? To total strangers? Well, you guys aren't my strangers. You're my friends. You're my podcast friends. But there are some things that I should not be sharing because they... Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to move on. Lisa today, great day. We walked around campus. We got our bike registered. We got our car registered. We got her registered at the physical education building, the PEIF, the Physical Education Instructional Facility. We got her books. We got a refund on one of the books that was a duplicate. So it was a good old time. We met her RA, her resident assistant for her house, Nicole. While we were talking to Nicole, another RA popped in the room. I said, man, she looks just like Lisa's cousin, Michaela, my brother's daughter. And turns out her name is Michaela. So I said, there's an easy name to remember. I even gave Lisa that look like, holy crap, doesn't that look like Michaela? And she looked at me like, holy crap, that looks like Michaela. And then her name is Michaela. So I said, I told her, I said, you have an easy name for us to remember because you look like who we already expect you to look like. And then we got in a whole discussion about how people, if you know them, their name before you see them, you get this image in your mind. And certain people you meet, they don't look like what you expect them to look like. And just all kinds of weird name stories and people who put on phony British accents for a couple of days and then drop the accent and put on these false personas just to mess with people around them. That was fun. You know, walking around the campus, a lot of things have changed since the 30 years that Donna and I have been there. It's fun to play historian. I'm probably driving my kids nuts by saying, hey, oh, you know, that up there is where we had our wedding reception. And over there is where your dad or my dad used to be in barracks, before they constructed this building, and we got to see from the time that Lisa did her her orientation in June to now, an entire building has been destroyed. They've been replacing it over the summer with a new facility, and it looks great. Sad to see the old one go, but it had structural problems, and I understand it had to go. After we got done with Lisa's stuff, we stopped by my mom and dad's. Oh, we walked around campus. Everything was spread out, but we walked. We walked to the car registration place, which is about a half mile from her dorm. We walked to the PEIF, which is about a mile away. So it was a good walking tour, but it took some time. Along the way, we passed a pasty shop. If you don't know what a pasty is, go look it up. It's P-A-S-T-Y, not pasty. It's a pasty. Delicious Cornish pastry shell. It's almost like a meat and potato calzone, but more like a not as saucy as a calzone, but they're good. I had one in the UK as well, but that was kind of a staple as I was growing up in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, and this may be the last one I have for a while unless somebody ships some out to Arizona. A lot of lasts going on. Maybe the last time I see my parents. We stopped by there after taking care of Lisa's business. Helping my dad. He's one of the few people I will give IT support to. He had Quicken 2007 on his old iMac, and he bought a circa 2009, 2010 MacBook Pro. He's got Mavericks on it. But he was having problems loading his Quick in 2007. It just will not load. It says, I'm sorry, we don't support PowerPC anymore. It must have one of those fat binaries or whatever they used to call them when they had Intel and PowerPC binaries in one. It won't let him load it. So he went to Best Buy, God bless his heart, and they ordered him an updated version of Quicken for Mac. And he received it in the mail. And it was Quicken 2010. I went, what? When you can, he got this for like $60, $65, and you can download the latest Quicken 2015 online for $75. I don't understand this. Well, he backed up his files upstairs on his iMac to his thumb drive. He just had knee surgery done on the 12th of August, so 10 days ago. And he's up and around and doing all right. He was proud to show me he can walk down the stairs with his hands up in the air, not holding onto a railing, not limping. Amazing medical technology. But he's spending most of his time in the lower level. They've got a three-level condo. He's in the lower level because that's where his treadmill is, and he's doing his own PT and having a great old time. He wants to work off of the computer there. He kind of takes care of the funds for the condo area. He copied his files onto a thumb drive. We put them on there, and I tried opening them with 2010. It was very easy to install, the typical Mac install where you drag the application from the CD into the applications folder, bada boom, bada bing, done. We went to open up his backup file, and it said, oh, you need to convert this from a QDFM to a QDFX. So the converter comes up and it says, what file would you like to open? I said, well, dang, the file I just told you to open on the regular program, but the converter intercepted it and asked again. Stupid user interface. Then it comes up and says, well, what file would you like to send it to? And I said, well, save it to the same file name and with a suffix of export. It put that as the default file name. Clicked OK, the status bar goes whoop, whoop. No, it didn't really make that sound. I'm just making that for effect. And it completed. But there was no output file. I did it again. I said, now save this in the documents folder. No document. No file in the documents folder. Try it again on the desktop. Nothing in the desktop. It will not write an output file. So we went upstairs to the old Mac, exported his data into a QIF format, the Quicken Interchange file. Try to import that, it won't even recognize that file. I do a file import, and it's grayed out. Like, what the heck, man? Okay, Dad, step one, take this crap back to Best Buy and get your money back. Step two, when you get your money back, go to Intuit.com and download Quicken 2015, and that way if you run into problems, you can call them and say, what's wrong with your converter? Help me get this working, and they should be able to take care of them. So hopefully he gets that all squared out. I feel a little bad that he didn't get that taken care of. But I did get to see two of my sisters, one that lives in town with my parents, and one that was up from Traverse City to go to a family wedding that they've got tonight and tomorrow. So good to see them. Maybe the last time I see them for a really long time. We will be back in the spring for Julie's graduation. But you never know. Parents are getting old. Maybe the last time we see them. Might be the last time I stay at my mother-in-law's house. Might be the last time I glance out over this bayou with lily pads and cranberry bog and the floating bridge that's half sinking. Boy, it gets tougher every time. I just hope we can get back here and appreciate every moment of it. So without further delay, I am going to go up and spend some time with the family and have another Upper Peninsula beer. Till next time, and I look forward to seeing everybody at Dragon Con who's going to be there. Again, if you're going, download the app. I'll be your friend. I'll share my schedule for whatever that's worth, and hope to see you at the Technorama live show on Sunday. 101.